Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast number 238. It's the week of March 20th, and that means springtime has arrived. I'd like to thank you for coming along. Thank you for coming back. If you're a returning listener, appreciate you coming back and checking out the show again. As always, I thank all my loyal returning listeners that come back week after week, those that have listened for several years. It's very nice to have a kind of a core group of folks that I hear from on a regular basis that keeps me inspired to keep my training runs up, getting out there, regardless of the weather, and knowing that there's other people to engage in dialogue about distance running. If you're a new listener, I'd like to welcome you to the show. Appreciate you taking a chance on the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm an ordinary middle-of-the-pack nobody. I like to say at times that I can go run a marathon and nobody will even know if I'm there or not because I'm practically invisible. I'm so ordinary with my running. Pretty much middle-of-the-packer at times, more of a back-of-the-middle type. But anyway, I started doing the podcast back in 2008 as kind of an accountability thing to myself with some of the distance goals that I had set. And as a consequence of doing the podcast, I've met people pretty much all over the world, some virtually, some over FaceTime, some over Skype, some over just email, and then some of those friendships have resulted in in-person meetups at different races, and some friendships have been born from that. And I'll talk a little bit about that later in the show when I talk about my target race, which is April 30th up in Michigan. This is kind of an open topic episode. I've got several things in my stack of stuff here, and some of the things I'm going to talk about are I'm going to talk about my training partners a little bit. I got two guys that I run with on a very regular basis, and you've heard me, if you're a regular listener of the show, you've heard me talk about them before, but I'm going to just talk about just kind of a I want to talk about them a little bit more because they're out there week after week with me, and I'm with them, and we're talking, and we've become really good friends, and we've known each other for years now. But it's just really nice to have reliable folks that come out week after week and meet up with you. And I'll talk a little bit about Tom and Brian, who pretty much some of my best friends here in the Ashland area. I'm going to talk about the Railroad Run, which is this next month, April 22nd. This is the it's a 10K race with a 5K and then also a little 1 mile kids run. It's in its 39th year. If you're a regular listener of the show, you've heard me talk about this before many times because I was the race director for 4 years, co-race director for 4 years, and we really built the race up. It's kind of changed a little bit. I've been asked to be the starter again this year. I've started that race, I think, I remember we did like a commemorative plastic cup at the 35th year, and I think that was my last year directing the race, so that might have been the fourth year. I was involved with the year before I started directing it, and then I've been starting it for the last several years, so I've probably been involved with the Railroad Run now probably close to 10 years. I'd have to check on that, but I've been asked to be the starter, and I'm actually going to run the 10K this year. I have never run the new course, which is what I designed several years ago. It's kind of a double loop course. I'll talk about that a little bit of a throwback topic on that. I'm going to talk about a new train mural that's in the town of Ashland that has, it's a beautiful mural except for the graffiti on it. I'll talk about that. I'm going to talk about this new county fitness incentive that we have where I work, which makes sense to me, but then it kind of doesn't make sense to me. I'll go over that. I'm going to talk a little bit about my training level because I had a big mileage big week this week. Finished up an 8-miler this morning before I went to church, and it was just a big mileage week. And going into next week and the week after, got a lot of confidence. And then I think I'm going to close out the show with doing a little bit of an analysis between the Garmin, the MapMyRun app on my phone, and then I'm not sure what Tom's device is, but we ran 17 miles yesterday, which would have been March 18th, and we had three devices, and they all had different mileage, and it was a little weird, so it makes you kind of wonder exactly how far are you running when you're out there training just carrying one device. So there's a whole lot, and then we'll get to the email bag section of the show, which I do have several people that checked in for this episode. And so I think it's pretty much an action-packed podcast. If you want to stick around, that'd be great. I hope you enjoy the show, and thanks again for coming along. All right, let me talk a little bit about Ashlyn Tom and Ashlyn Bryan. And you hear me talk about these guys in the show, and I've talked about probably Ashlyn Tom more because I've run with him more, but I can't remember really when I didn't run with either one of these guys. I guess I kind of do. I've known Tom. Tom and I go to the same church, so I kind of knew him through that and through swimming because our daughters are his younger daughter and my daughter are both the same age. Tom's got an older daughter getting ready to go off to college. And so we've known each other probably, you know, like 10 years or more, I would think. I live in Hanover County. The town of Ashlyn is in Hanover County, and I moved to Hanover County in 1998. And I think I kind of met Tom shortly after that. So I guess when they would have just had the one kid. Gosh, maybe I've known him probably longer than 15 years. But Brian was my first coach. And when I signed up some years back, this would have been 2006, when I got serious into distance running again. I ran when I was younger. I was competitive in middle school as a cross country runner. And when I say competitive, I came in 11th in the county meet, and they gave medals to the first 10. And there were several hundred runners there, boys. And so I consider myself competitive because I came in 11th place out of a couple hundred, and I didn't get a medal. But I do remember that I came in 11th place at the county meet. High school, I did not run. I didn't run competitively. I played soccer, really into soccer. It's my favorite sport. And so I kind of gave the actual distance running a break. Got back into some of it in college and just kind of dabbled a little bit when I got out of college because I worked for a government agency in Chesterfield County, which is south of here. And we participated in the law enforcement torch run every year. And there was a segment of 12 miles through Chesterfield County on Route 1. And there was 1 year, maybe the 2 years, that I ran the whole way. And so that kind of got me hooked. And so I kind of started pursuing it after that. But in 2006 is when I ran, I guess, my first serious race. I don't know if you would call it as an adult. I think I did some 5Ks here and there just for recreational, ran with my girlfriend who turned into my wife. But the 10K, the Monument Avenue 10K, which is one of the largest 10Ks in the country, was in 2006. And that was in response to my dad running the marathon in 2005, the Richmond Marathon. And that really inspired me to do something like that. So I signed up for a small event, or a small lower mileage event, the 10K. And I joined a training program through the YMCA here in Ashlyn. And the YMCA is a very it's a popular program where we live. I know in some areas it's not a really big facility, but we have a real nice facility here, and it's involved in a lot of different stuff in the community. And Brian was one of the coaches, and so was Tom. But I had already known Tom, and so I remember one of the pieces of advice that Brian gave me was don't ever run past water, not take any. I'm not sure he remembers giving me that or not. But he became a real good friend, and as time wore on, I went on that year to run my first marathon. After that, did numerous half marathons, some other marathons. The rest is kind of history. I've done 30 some now. Brian and I ran the Charlottesville Marathon together. We did some other things together, and has just become a real good friend and a reliable training partner. And the reason I bring that up is because this weekend, I really needed those guys to help me out, and they both helped me out in different ways, and I want to share that. And Tom, I'm not trying to minimize your you've been around a long time, and I've talked about you before, but Brian has really been a good friend. And just to kind of give you an idea of how diverse the three of us are, one guy is a software engineer, one guy is a geologist, and another guy is a police officer. So you got these three guys, completely different professions, but with the love of distance running and the camaraderie that develops from that, we meet up week after week and share different stories. And everybody's always got some kind of story to say or what have you. But this particular weekend, yesterday and today, March 18th and 19th, I had a 17-miler and an 8-miler to do, 25 for the week, or 25 for the weekend. I did my 3 5-milers during the week because I really don't have much time in the during the week to do anything past 5. So I tried to add that third one to get a good chunk of miles going into the weekend. So the goal this week was 40 miles, and so I needed 25 this weekend. And now we go to Mass on Sunday mornings at 8:30, and then I teach a class from 9:45 to 10:45. And when I get home from that, regardless of whether I go to Mass or not, I'm really, Sunday is my day just to chill out. I usually will watch recorded Premier League soccer on DVR. I'll watch the NASCAR race. And most of the time when I say watch, the TV's on in the living room, but I'm taking my nap on the sofa. So I got to get that run done early in the morning, which means before 8:30 in the morning. So in order to get... and I'm about a 10.5 mile pace. So in order to get an 8-miler done in the morning before church, I've got to get started before 6 in the morning. That way I have time once I get back to kind of recover a little bit, get something to eat, get cleaned up for church. We try to all go over together, but now that my daughter has got her learner's permit, she is now driving one car, and then I come a little – with my wife in there, and then I come a little bit later. So backing up to yesterday, I needed to get 25 to make 40, so I divided it up to 17 and 8, and it won't be long before I'm trying to get that 10-miler in before church. And so I contacted Tom and Brian, I think, Thursday. We usually all kind of check in on Thursday to see who's up for the run on the weekend. Sometimes Tom has a swim meet to go to. Sometimes Brian is out of town, or he's got an event. He's got one daughter in college, and sometimes they go away or whatnot. And so we always check in to see who's available. And this weekend was a little bit of a hodgepodge because Brian had tweaked his knee, was not able to come out Saturday. But I really needed the help for the 17 miles, and it looked like I was going to be doing some of it by myself. And so I was prepared for that. Tom said he would come out. We started at 6. And so we went out and did – Brian couldn't make Saturday. It was just Tom. So we went out. Let's see what we did. We did our pretty much the long leg, which is a 5 to 5.5 to 6 out and back to get the big chunk. When I say out and back, I was saying we park at this train mural, which I'll talk about, where we have our gear. So we went out and back, and on the way out, he was saying, I'll hang with you as long as I can. And he said, but what we need to do is we need to get back to the cars with 6 or less miles to go. He said, if that's the case, I think I can be talked into going the rest of the way with you. Well, this really interested me because there's nothing worse than knowing that you got a long run, say 50 miles plus, and someone can only do a little piece of it with you. You're not mad at them. It's not anything like that. It's your own mentality where you're like, man, I would rather have somebody run the end of it with me than just the beginning, and then I'm by myself towards the end. But what we did is we did some out and backs. We did some looping through this new neighborhood that's being cut through. And we got back to the car, I think, with about 5.5 to go. And then that was pretty easy. And we both covered 17 miles. And I'm very appreciative that Tom was able to hang out for that. And then what happened this morning, Brian came out at 6:45. I started at 5:45 because I had to do 8. I didn't get started till to about 5:50 or so, and like I said, I'm about a 10.5 minute miler. There's always a some minutes in there when you're getting started or when you're finishing. And sure enough, he was there. It was raining, and he said he'd be there regardless. And sure enough, Brian showed up, and after I'd done 5, and he did the last 3 with me, and I got my 40 miles for the week. And I couldn't be happier right now going into this week, which will be a little bit of a fallback, and I don't really. I'm putting my training together, my training program together, pretty much week to week. And the reason I'm doing that, some people might think I'm kind of foolish if they're. I'm not a hardcore ultra runner. I'm a recreational ultra runner. I just want to finish, but I want to have fun while I'm doing it, and I want to have fun while I'm doing the training. And I'm not. I don't need to nitpick too much about my training. I don't do any speed work. I'm getting ready to do hills. Because I'm not fast, and it's never really benefited me before. I did try it once, and I didn't see the point in it. And I know other people will disagree, saying you should do it. It's just for me and my ability level, it just doesn't really do much. So after I built the base, my week one of my training was January 9th, and this is for an April 30th race. So I built a base over the course of Christmas, a couple weeks leading up to Christmas, getting up to where I was running 15 miles, 17 miles a week. Then I got to 20, and so week one was 24 miles for that week. Week two was 27. I dropped back in week three to 21. Week four, 25 miles. Week five, 25 miles. Week six, 31. Week seven, 35. Week eight, 35, which was last week. And then this week that just ended, week nine was 40. My goal being to run two 50-mile weeks if possible, with the rest a fallback week in between. I'm a big believer, and this is to then prepare to taper for the April 30th race up in Michigan. Now, I'm a big believer in bulk mileage, not, and it has to be quality, but I've found, especially after I've run several 50 milers, that the way you get through that 50 mile race without wanting to quit, you know, mentally, is to have lots of heavy mileage weeks. Now, some people might run past 50 miles a week. I've found that when I've done 50 mile races, peaking at 50 miles and trying to do that twice, that's about the breaking point where I start feeling little tweaks here and there. For example, this week, going into my run this morning, I was having some heel pain, not a whole lot of heel pain, nothing that was putting me down. It was just something I was kind of feeling a little bit, and I was starting to wonder, well, you know, I probably need to rest some after this week and not pound it so much. And that's going to keep happening as the mileage gets high. And I've noticed in the past when I've gotten up to 50 miles for a week, I can really feel it the week after that. And that's pretty much my breaking point. So I found that there's no reason or no point in me trying to go up and run 60, 70 miles a week and actually injure myself and where I can't toe the starting line on race day. You know, the race is supposed to be hard, in my opinion. So I'm glad that, I'm glad to get to the starting line with, you know, right at the top of the training, as opposed to being overtrained and being hurt on race day and then wondering if you're going to finish or not. So that is all in preparation for the 50K called, it's called Trail Marathon. It's in the lower, it's just outside Ann Arbor in Michigan, the Pinckney Recreational Area. It's called Trail Marathon. What it is, it's, they have a half marathon, I think they have a marathon, and then I think they have a 5-miler, and then they have the 50K. And the 50K is two 13.1 loops, and apparently the 8K or the 5-mile out and back, which is supposed to add up to, you know, to 50K. It's probably going to be, you know, plus or minus just a little bit. That's the way ultras run. And I'll be visiting a couple families up there. Really looking forward to that. Sandy being one of those. Another one is the Brimhalls. Marisa used to listen to the podcast. I'm not sure she does anymore. So, but I'll be visiting them, and then I'll be going to visit Sandy, and also hoping to see Mike Croy, also known as Dirt Dog. He runs a podcast called Dirt Dogs Running Diatribe, and have, you know, talked to him before, talked to him over email, but we're looking to do a meetup, I think, the night before I leave up there. So I'm really looking forward to that trip. So everything I'm doing is all in preparation for that. So when I go up to Michigan and I represent Virginia in this race, because I've looked at the people that have registered and it looks like I'm the only one from Virginia, you know, I go up there and actually finish and don't come in last place. So that's all, like I said, all this is in preparation for that, and I'm pretty excited. Let's talk about the railroad run. I think I already did a little bit. I'm very excited to be the starter. What I'm going to do this year, I'm going to start the race. And when I say starter, you know, I'm the one with the megaphone. I'm the one with the air horn. I give all the pre-race instructions that nobody listens to because they got all the earbuds in. Mainly to tell them to stay off the railroad tracks because the railroad run starts next to a railroad. We have the railroad that goes right through town. And then after the race starts, I'm going to set the megaphone down and I'm actually going to participate. And this will be cool because I have never run the route that I developed for this race. Oh, I guess it was maybe 2010, maybe 2009, 2010, 2011. We had to change the route because the police chief of Ashland mandated, when I say mandate, he gently encouraged us to do a new route and keep it in one quadrant of town. If you can imagine, the railroad in Ashland goes north to south, and then right through the middle of town going east and west, you have kind of a main street, and north and south you have a street that goes along the railroad track on either side. And so you have four quadrants, and he wanted us to keep the race in the southwest quadrant, which is really the historic part of the town that has most of the older homes, the old houses along the railroad tracks. There's also some on the east side of the tracks, but that's kind of the historic district of the town. And in order to get 6.2 miles in that, I had to do this long out and back along the railroad track south of town, have it come back. That way, one main artery that goes through the town to the south of the main street is cleared early on in the race, and you don't have stragglers over the course of 2 hours, you know, walkers and stuff, where the police have to keep stopping cars. And then we do a double loop through the town, which over the years you've only had maybe two people that have forgotten about that, maybe three people. One was a lady at the finish line, and when I greeted the finishers, I asked, she was like third place. I said, "Did you do two loops?" She said, "Two loops? What do you mean?" I said, "You didn't do two loops," because she was talking about how great her 10K time was. I said, "Well, you didn't do the whole way." We have plenty of instructions. There's signs. There's marshals at those corners. It's not that hard to figure out, but people don't pay attention or they don't read the pre-race instructions. So I'm looking forward to running the route myself. And I'm actually been told I'm getting a complimentary entry, so I'm pretty excited about that. And I'm very honored to be asked to come back. The race has changed a little bit. It kind of peaked several years back with about 500 participants for all three events. That's a pretty good size for a 10K in this area. That's for a small town. Having that many people come to town, is especially when you have nice weather, you know, when you're done, it's just an awesome feeling that everything came together. Last year and the year before, the attendance was down quite a bit. It was pretty noticeable. I think it's just a lack of marketing. I'm not really sure what's going on. I'm not on the board of the Hanover Arts and Activity Center anymore like it used to be, and I'm not involved. You have to rotate off after – if you do two terms, you have to rotate off. That way you don't have the same people on the board for years and years and years. And I've just seen a difference in the race. I'm not being critical. I'm just saying I've seen a difference. The participants has been way down. That thing in the past is generated close to $18,000 for the Hanover Arts and Activity Center, which is a cultural arts center here in the town. It's an old and a very old building that always needs maintenance. And so I was always very pleased to, when we ran the race, that we got a lot of people, did a lot of marketing. But just seems like the participant numbers have been down, and I'm not really sure why. But hopefully this year it will be back to where it should be. So let me talk about the train mural for a couple of reasons. One, that's where the railroad run starts. It starts in a municipal parking lot that then empties out onto the road. And an artist, Ed, I can't think of his last name, but he was commissioned to do this huge mural on the side of a building that's beautiful. But I got a couple of issues with it. And I know that when somebody does public art, you know, it is supposed to spurring off discussion and whatnot. And so the mural is of a train coming through the train station in Ashland, has the Ashland sign, and also has the town clock. And the time that was chosen for the town clock is 4:20. And a lot of people, I don't know if you know anything about the drug trade, 4:20 is the time to get high. I've been told that the time on that clock is some kind of significant time to the person that the mural has been done to memorialize, a guy named Art McKinney, who's a business owner here in town, did a lot for the town. But there's no public release of the reason why the time on the clock is permanently 4:20. And then on the boxcars of the mural, the artist has put purposeful graffiti. And I've also learned that some of the graffiti, some of it is obvious, like Ashland Street Parties or some other names, people that have donated so that the mural could be painted. But there's also some of the graffiti that you see on boxcars of trains, you know, the stuff that is just looks just like vandalism. I was at one of the cafes here in town. I was told that one of the names there is a guy's father who had passed away. And, you know, all that's fine and good. I'm not being critical of memorializing people, but why do you want to do it in graffiti? It just escapes me. It really does. I mean, graffiti begets graffiti. It's just like the vacant lot that people litter in begets more litter. It's just the way it is. And for the town to donate to that, for all these benefactors to donate and then be okay with having graffiti on these boxcars, whether it's on purpose, it just escapes me. It just seems like it glorifies vandalism, and I just thought there could be a better use for that. My wife was telling me, she said, well, you know, boxcars do have graffiti on. I said, no, not all of them do. I mean, there's plenty of boxcars that come through town that don't have any graffiti on them. I said, and the ones that do, then, you know, those are crimes. So I don't know why we're glorifying a crime on a train mural to memorialize somebody who had something to do with benefacting or being a benefactor for the artist who put this beautiful mural up there. I mean, don't get me wrong. This is a detailed, like old time looking steam engine. It's just really, really cool looking. But it's just got these other things in the art that, you know, I consume the art because I see it. It's on a building. It's in a public parking lot. And I guess you could say I have a right to comment on it. I mean, and so that's what I'm doing here in the podcast. And it's bothered me for a while that I don't know why we glorify graffiti. It just doesn't make much sense to me. If somebody has an idea about that, please send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com. I'd love to have a discussion. Let me talk a little bit about the county incentive, the fitness incentive program that we're having through the county where I work. I work for local government, and you know, they're always trying to do these things to get people to work out, get people this whole idea of wellness, which is a made-up word. I guess it's probably in the dictionary by now, but it's a made-up word for doing good things for yourself, doing good things for your body. And Hanover County initiated a program a little while back where you can submit your workouts, and then you'll get let me back up. They started with this thing where if you went and got a fitness assessment, you get $240 taken off your insurance over the course of the year, which is pretty cool. I mean, it's like, I guess, you know, it's per check, so it adds up to that. You don't really notice it that much. And then they got this new program. I can't think of the name of it, and I know the lady who's doing it. She's working real hard on it. And but what they were doing is they said that you have to work out at an approved facility, and then you have to work out twice a week for so many weeks, and then you got to get them to write a letter on letterhead, and you submit that, and you get this incentive, which really isn't that much. Or you can go to this website that they've contracted with and I guess upload your device data, and then it'll, you know, that's proof that you've been exercising or you're doing steps or whatever. And, you know, that's all fine and dandy also. But what I did is I contacted the coordinator and I said, look, I said, you know, I'm a marathoner. I'm at the gym twice a week. I work out at the Brock Center, which is at Randolph-Macon College, because I have access to that because I'm a local law enforcement. And, you know, they swipe my card, and then I run, and I use a Garmin Forerunner 205. And just to kind of visualize what my Garmin looks like, it's the old one without the chest strap. It's the one that looks like a miniature TV set that you wear on your wrist. It's blue and gray. And I've had it for so long that one of the straps has broken. So I used duct tape over the course of time, and you probably heard one of the podcasts where it actually broke off. The band actually broke off, so I started duct taping after that. And then even the duct tape wouldn't hold. I didn't realize that your Garmin went through much trauma while you're running. So I took some picture wire, and I ran it through the holes and wrapped it around so that would hold, and then I duct taped over that. So that's what my Garmin looks like, and I don't plug it into anything. I just look at it. And then I take the miles that I ran for that day, and I go to my phone, and I go to my Shoe Cycle app, and I plug in how many miles are left on my shoes. I don't upload anything to anywhere. I'm actually too embarrassed to go over to the Brock Center and ask them to write a letter to prove I've been working out when I've been through a complete background investigation plus a polygraph for my job, but yet I cannot be believed to fill out a form, you know, certifying that I've worked out at a gym twice a week. So I don't think I'm going to do the program because of all the work that it takes to try to certify everything, because the incentive is not $240, it's less. And it just seems to me, I'll be gone in a few years anyway, retiring. So I'm not going to do it. And but you see where this goes. So you have to purchase like a Fitbit, or you have to plug in your Garmin to the site and then figure out a way to interface it and all that. And they have all the devices. But to me, that just seems like it takes too much time. And the reason I'm kind of ranting about that is because I want less time on the computer, not more. And it feels like that would just require more. And maybe there's an easier way to do it. And if somebody explains it to me, maybe I'll do it. So that's my little sidebar on that. I know the coordinator is working really hard to try to accommodate everybody, but it just seems like it's just too much work. It used to be where you just kind of said that you did and they took your word for it. And I guess people cheat the system. And but you'll know when you go for a physical, the doctor's going to know if you haven't been working out. All right, let me talk a little bit about, I'm not really sure how much sense that made. I really don't want this to be a negative podcast this episode, but it kind of seems like it is a little bit. I'm actually not negative. I'm actually feeling really good. Okay, let's talk a little bit about how devices compare, since we're talking about devices. Yesterday, Tom used his device, which I'm not sure exactly what it is. I think it's the latest Garmin. I used my 205, and I also used the Map My Run app, and we ran 17 miles. I carried two devices. He carried one. We were together the whole time. And I just want to tell you what the splits were and the mileage was for all three devices. So we went with Tom's we could tell early on that the Map My Run was doing a quicker mile than the Garmin. Tom's thing was pretty close to my Garmin, but then it started getting separated. So we could tell early on that we were going to probably be going with his. So overall, the Garmin, Tom's showed 17, the Garmin showed 16.69, and the Map My Run showed 17.4. That's a discrepancy if you look at the Garmin and the Map My Run app of, let's see, if I can't do public math here, 16.69 to 16.7, so that's 3/10. That's 7/10 of a mile difference, okay? That's pretty far. I could accept like 1/10 or 2/10, but 7/10 is a pretty big discrepancy. So mile one, the split on the Map My Run was 10:07. It was 10:15 on the Garmin. Mile two, 10:23 on the Map My Run, 10:51 on the Garmin. Third mile, 10:37 on the Map My Run, 10:15 on the Garmin. Kind of kept going. The biggest one being mile five on the Map My Run was 10:27, and on the Garmin was 13:03. I know we did some walking, but we didn't do that much. Now, and some of the rest really were the same discrepancy. One was 1.5 minutes, like one was 2 seconds off, and then another one was 5 seconds off. But other than that, they're about 1 minute off each. Now, Tom's theory was that the Map My Run app probably somehow drops us when we do a walk break, which is 1/10 of a mile every mile. But that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. I'm not negating what Tom said, but you know, we were just theorizing. Because what's the point in the Map My Run app if it doesn't pick you up while you're walking? I mean, people walk for fitness, and I presume they use the Map My Run. You know, they're just running slow. It should pick you up. I think we did run the first mile pretty fast, so that was 10:07. But it just seemed to be really, really off. And so it made me start thinking, what really is the true distance anyway? If you think about it, if you go by the Map My Run and you consistently train on that, you're not getting the right amount of distance. Or if you're running with the Garmin on a regular basis, are you then running too far every time? And so when you run on race day, if that's a true certified course, are you coming up short? You've heard sometimes people run with the Garmin and then they say that the route was short or the course was short. Certified courses are not measured with the satellite. They're measured by a ruler. I know that I've seen when they certified our railroad run, the guy came out on a bike. I mean, he was measuring corners. It's pretty remarkable what they do. But I just can't quite figure out why these devices are so far off. I like the Map My Run app because I like how it knocks out your splits where you can see them, whereas on the Garmin, they're so small, you almost need a magnifying glass, and you got to scroll through them. But I like on the Map My Run, you just scroll up, you can see them all on one screen. And I like how it talks to you at each mile. And it's very easy to use. You can become friends with people on there. So you can, when you save your run, it shoots, like notifies your friends that you ran. And you can, you know, comment on that or you can exchange messages. I really like having the Garmin on my wrist, but I like the Map My Run app because I also like to look at the map and you can enlarge it. And so let me just close with this, which makes me think that the Map My Run app might be more accurate than I think. But I'm still developing a theory on it. Yesterday, Tom and I were running on Route 1. Route 1 is the main, prefaced at Interstate 95 north-south route. Route 1 comes right through the town of Ashland. And real early in the morning, if you get out there, especially Sunday mornings, but we ran it on Saturday, you can run on Route 1, and it's very, very peaceful because it's such a wide road. there's a shoulder to run on, and it's just kind of cool because it takes us to a different section of in town where we can run. Well, we decided to zigzag back and forth across Route 1. We did that several times to see if the map my run, if it would plot us. So when I got back and finished the run, I went back and looked at the map, and sure enough, it captured each zigzag that we did going across Route 1. So I'm convinced that it's pretty darn accurate. I just can't figure out why it's so much farther along than the Garmin. And I just don't know. So if maybe there's anybody out there with an idea, you know, that doesn't require a big, long explanation like I just did, shoot me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com and love to start a discussion on that. All right, so that is the content for this week. Let's get into the email bag section of the show and see who checked in for this episode. I heard from Neil. Actually, this was today. I got two emails from him over the course of a couple weeks. Neil Richard is a listener of the show, known him for several years now. He's got his own podcast, and he's an interesting guy. He does some real long stuff. He does some short stuff. He does some stuff in between, and he was up at the Dahlgren Heritage Trail half marathon parking cars, and he was wearing he's called it a snowman outfit. It was pretty cold that morning. We thought it was the Olaf. When I say we, me and Brian, that went up there. He said, so his email was, he was responding to what I said in the podcast last time. He says, well, I wasn't specifically Olaf from the Frozen movie. However, I was a snowman. I found the outfit at Target and figured it would be a good one to have on hand. Just need to think about what outfit to wear for the next race. Ninja Turtle, Stormtrooper, something else. And he says, oh, and I was not a rabbit, despite what many people thought. And I think I know where that came from, Neil, is because you had the carrot on your mask or the hood. I'm not really sure. So I recommended a Stormtrooper. And he also said that he ran a race today. Today being the 19th of March, and he passed the screamer in the last few steps to beat him at the finish. He never made a sound. Maybe he's quit. This is the reference to the guy. If you got to go back and listen to episode 237 if you're a new listener, because I got a bunch of audio clips from a trail half marathon I ran with Ash and Brian up in King George County. That's where we ran into Neil. We always see him whenever we go up and do races there. And there was a guy that screams when he passes you, and it's this older guy in his 60s who's completely obnoxious, and there's some audio clips of it. There's also some audio clips of some guys shooting. Interesting place, King George, that's for sure. So, Neil, thanks for listening to the show, as always, and it's always good to hear from you. You always have a very interesting take on things, and I always think it's funny. Heard from Charlie Ban. Charlie Ban writes, Dear Ashland Dave, I came across your podcast on the Dahlgren Heritage Trail Facebook page, and I'm eager to dig in, starting with the broadcast from the half. I used to write for the Herald Progress back in 2004, 2005. That's our local newspaper here in Hanover County. He ran a lot over Hanover County. So I'm glad to hear there's a runner in that town avid enough to do something like this and for so long. Some friends of mine around D.C. produce a podcast you may enjoy called Pace the Nation. It's at soundcloud.com/PaceTheNation. Thanks, Charles. I'm glad to have you along. I'm definitely going to check out that podcast. I have not done it yet. I should have done it this morning because I needed some, I listened to some garbage crap on my iPod. I'll definitely have to check this out. I wonder if I can get it through iTunes. I'll check that out. I'm going to leave that email up. That's Charlie Ban. Charlie Ban apparently used to live in Hanover, and it'd be good to hear back from you, Charlie. I guess you've moved out of the area now, but it's kind of cool to hear from a local guy, or formerly a local guy. I really appreciate it. Heard from Down Under Dave. He's got this is the guy, if you've listened to the show, he's got all these crazy adventures. He ran a stage marathon, a stage race in Cambodia in the jungle. We did the interview on that. He's returned, this is his email. I've returned to Flinders Island, bearing the scars of a long day out in the wilds of the Stanley Wynyard, Tasmania, Australia. He's from Australia. Coastal tracks in the first running of the Gone Nuts Tasmania's Adventure Run. He did the 50K race. There's a 101-kilometer race that was even more extreme. The scenery was along the craggy coastline was absolutely stunning. The course itself was brutal. We didn't see any hills, just vertical ascents. On some parts of the track, you had to pull yourself up by holding onto trees and then slide down the other side. Ouch. The course also took us over some rugged single-track beaches with large roots to balance on, railway tracks, including sleepers. I'm not sure what those are. Cow paddocks, which I do know what those are, and severe sideways slopes, and even required some to wade chest-deep through tidal waters. But the good news was that I finished in one piece. Many other runners were forced to pull out of the event, and the walking wounded in the medical tent was a sight to behold. I hate to think what the run would have been like if the weather had turned sour, as it often can in this part of the world. Well, it doesn't even, Dave, it doesn't even sound like you needed bad weather. The chest deep through tidal waters and then craggy coastline. I'm not sure what craggy means. I have to look that up. And that must be Australian for rugged or something, kind of like Foster's is Australian for beer. And I'm not sure what a sleeper railway track is. I do know what it's like to run through waist-deep water because I did a 50K 2009. It was called the it was down in the Virginia Beach area, and the tide came in, and the trail got covered, and it really was on the coast, and the water was waist-deep, and it was freezing. It was terrible. It was in December. So appreciate it, Dave. Good to hear from you, as always. Simply amazing. Simply amazing. Heard from Ryan. Ryan talked about he's got some, there's like called a 150K relay that he's involved with up in Calgary, Canada. Ryan's part of our former virtual training group of Team Incognito. Used to be real, now it's kind of virtual. And it's a relay, so he was trying to convince me to come up there. I had to turn him down on account of the fact that my spring race is going to be the one in Michigan. And Ryan, that's as close as I'm going to get to Canada for this year. I'm sorry to turn you down, my brother, but maybe next time around. I really do appreciate you staying in touch. And he did comment on the he said, I guess, did I call the screamer guy from that race a dick? Because he said he agreed with my dick assessment of the screaming dude. He said, if a girl beating you is getting chicked, does Tom beating this guy at the end meaning he dicked him? So, I don't know if that's if that'll keep me as a non-explicit podcast or not. I know I've cussed before, but Ryan, thanks for the email. I hope everything goes well if you're involved in that race. That'd be great. Let's see. Heard from Dr. Smitty today. He did the Dismal Swamp 12-miler. Fourth overall, pretty good. Greg's a fast runner. He'll be up here for the railroad run. And today, which is the Shamrock Marathon, he ran the half marathon in 1:30-something. And then he was planning on starting the full marathon at 8:30. The marathon itself, the half marathon started at 7. There's so many people that ran this, and there's so many people checking the website. I can't get his finishing time for the marathon right now. It's 4:32 p.m. as I'm producing the show here on Sunday, March 19th. So, Greg, I'm sorry, man. We've been looking your results. Monica took a personal interest. That's my wife. She took a personal interest in trying to get your splits, and she was on the computer for like 20 minutes just trying to figure out different ways to get to the site, and we just couldn't figure it out. And I'm reading through your email now, and I just remember when we were looking you up, we were looking to the 40 to 44 age group. You're in the 45 to 49 age group, dude. How long have I known you? And now you're telling me that your son Patrick, who I think when I first met you, he was in what, sixth grade, is now looking at college. He's a senior. I mean, it's just amazing how time flies. It always blows me away. But I'm very thankful for your friendship, and I look forward to seeing you next month. And heard from Alex. He sent me a link to a documentary. This is about, I think, in reference to Badwater, and I have watched it, but I've watched three other videos in the meantime, Alex, and I can't remember the one that you wrote me here is I think I might have included this in the last podcast. Let me take a look. Yes, I did. So that's going to be it's a different one. This is about Angela Chartel, and I'm sorry, it escapes me. I didn't review your email before the show. So please forgive me on that. Alex is from Arizona and regular listener of the show. We always appreciate hearing from him. And Alex, I'll get that straight for the next show. Sorry about that. All right, well, that's the email bag section of the show. I think I kind of botched that a little bit at the end. I'd like to thank you for coming along. If you want to send me an email, comment on the show, I prefer positive comments. You can just leave the negative stuff out. But I'd love to hear from you. Tell me where you hail from, what kind of running you do, what you're interested in, and I'd love to share that on the show. If you have, if you do share anything in an email that you do not want me to share on the show, just indicate that, and I'll certainly honor that. AshlandDave@gmail.com. That's AshlandD@gmail.com. That's for Ashland, Virginia, which is the center of the universe. And that's where I'm at. And that's where the show is produced, right here on my kitchen counter in my podcast studio. And once again, here we are at the close of another episode. I'd like to thank you for coming along. This is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running, and don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week. Thank you.